For today's scripture, please turn with me to Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 27. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 27. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that reading. We are blessed by God to be alive at this time and this place in history. We love and appreciate you. We thank God for you. We are glad to be here. And at the same time, as we talk this morning at a lesson to the church, just need to say it. I love you. I appreciate you. But you and I are just a bunch of sinners. But still, we need the Word of God. And as good as we might be, we are still reminded in our first slide, in this message to the church, that only in Christ do we find forgiveness. Only in God's plan of literally taking our sins and separating them from the east to the west, from Psalm 103. And we could not solve our sin problem by ourselves. But God, even before he created the world, knew that Adam and Eve would sin, and that you and I also would need forgiveness of sin and have a hope to live with him forever in heaven. I've told you before, I was, as a Christian, struggling with something that I'd done that was wrong, and I knew it was wrong. I went to talk to a preacher, and he tried to help me, and his words wasn't getting through until he turned to this passage with me. From the Word of God, I found the truth that God knows I'm a sinner. God loves me as a sinner. God wants to deal and help me take care of my sins. Today's message is to the church with specific application to the last 2 weeks, the last 2 months of what's happening in our country. Also, in our next slide, we also see where salvation is found. For these are the critical issues of our world, no matter what's on our heart and mind of what's happening in our country. The bigger question is sin and death. And so you hear a lot of things on radio, TV, I read in different places. You hear a lot of different things. Run it through your Bible. Here are scriptures, and we'd be glad to help somebody if you're struggling with how a person is saved. No one is saved by perfect church attendance or perfect being perfect. In this pandemic, if we were saved by perfect church attendance, there'd be a lot of people in trouble. I remember well, I believe it's Wasam Awadi, I may say his name wrong. He was in Baghdad, and he lived there, worked there, an Iraqi citizen. And he tells the story of how he went from Islam to atheism to Christ. Islam is really a situation where you do a lot of works, a lot of very good works. The word is to submit to God. You have 5 prayers a day. And he talked about his uncle, who he loved a great deal, and he was a wonderful man. But then his uncle got sick. He was not able to pray, not able to do the things that Islam would require. And he ultimately died. So Osama was asking his mother about his uncle, and she said, there's no hope for him. Because he could not do what he needed to do because of his body was sick. We're not saved by works. That will never work. I remember I was talking with someone about when I was injured from my knee and had knee transplant surgery. I was reminded of the grace of God because I couldn't even get out of the bed to go to the bathroom without help. I certainly couldn't save my soul. God has devised a way to deal with all of our sin. He knows all about it. We're the ones that have to catch on how big a sinner we are, and that God really has a plan for it. And there, in this pandemic, maybe we should get the idea that we're going to die. Wasam goes on to talk about that he then became an atheist. And he watched a movie. Did you ever watch a movie? He watched Tom Cruise, and he noticed Mission Impossible. I think it was Job. I forget the exact reference. So never have seen a Bible, went out at some kind of sale, bought a book of John. They said, I couldn't find the book of Job in the Gospel of John. He knew nothing about the Bible. And there in that context, tell the story of how he finally came to America. A lot of interesting things about his. He works and lives in Detroit trying to reach Arabs for Christ. And then found of Christ and read the Word of God. Actually went to Sunset for training. But he came from Islam to atheism to Christ. Many people are looking for life in all the wrong places. In our third slide, which is a summary of many Bible verses of our relationship with Christ. And as we're talking to the church this morning, we're talking to all kinds of audience, and even people online, hopefully, that the basic question is, how does one get into Christ? And I'm not going to try to lie to you, but run it through your Bible. Don't even trust my words. Look at the words of Jesus Christ who gave his life for you. What did he say? Certainly a person who would pour out his blood to save people from sin would talk about it. Surely he would make it clear after giving his life how we could access that blood, how we could find forgiveness. What does the Bible say? And again, maybe you need somebody to talk to. Maybe you need somebody to study with. Maybe you're like me years ago, a friend of mine came to me and said, Keith, are you a Christian? I said, well, yes, no, maybe. She said, what? You know, do you know you're a Christian? If you want somebody to talk to, somebody to study with, maybe you've never studied the Bible before, like Osam, contact me, call me, email me, or somebody here. We could get some time to sit in the Word of God and help you in your relationship with God. Our next slide, and again, I want us to think about last year. And think about 2021. If 2021 could be the year that you settle the question, am I right with God? Is my relationship with God secure? I know what the Bible says, and I know if I would die, I could go and be with him forever. Not that we're planning to, but have we settled the greatest question of our lives? Again, maybe the pandemic should help us go, you know, we put things off, and we wait to the last minute. Don't wait for the last minute for this. God's word is true. We are going to die. And the only thing will matter at that last day is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's another book called the Book of Deeds. We will all stand before Christ, as Larry talked about in class at the resurrection, and we will be judged by the deeds recorded in that book. We are blessed by God to live in the greatest country on God's green earth. 2020 was rough, I think. We're not sure how 2021 is. We hope it's going to be better, but we have no guarantee that it's going to be better. Our reading today is by Jeremiah in the Lamentation, the book of Lamentations, which is to cry, to grieve, to cry out. But we want to see the historical context as we see, great verse, love the verse. For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But what's happening in his life when he writes that? What's happening in his life when he says that? Well, God has designed that a foreign power would come into his country, and by God's command, they're going to wipe the country off the face of the earth. They've already have 10 cities in Judah going up in smoke, and God has told the prophet that Jerusalem is going to fall, the temple's going to be destroyed, and it's over. You're going to lose the war. And in this book of grief, he loved his country. He's lamenting this truth. And yet, as he sees the armies coming to Jerusalem, he says, for the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great verse. But if we see the context of pain and suffering and war, a war that they're going to lose, which we've not had, a country come in and take us away, destroy our nation, take our homes and our businesses, the prophet made a choice. And in that choice, he focused on God and focused on the love of God. Again, the events of the last 2 weeks are on people's minds and hearts. My son posted this on Facebook. Yes, our political divisiveness and each side's politicians are horrible. But I just watched Hamilton, so it's a good reminder that we've come a long way from the politicians taking 10 steps and shooting at each other, which is a history. A lot in history there. I wrote this next piece on January 6th at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why I put the time on there, but I did, before anything happened in the Capitol. To really help us to focus and think. I must apologize, but I need to read it. I want to get it correct. I posted it on a Facebook page. What I believe to be a word of the Lord to us and our country at this time. Election 2021. Today, January 6, 2021 at 8 a.m., many are looking to Washington for electors to be rejected. Many are looking for Washington for them to certify Joe Biden as our next president. In a time when his nation is being destroyed by the command of the Lord, Isaiah is told by God why his nation is being destroyed. Next, God tells Isaiah his nation will be great in the future. I am not saying that is happening to America. For to say that, I would need a direct revelation from God. I do not have that. And in real history, God tells Isaiah the secret to getting through war that will be destroyed in his country. That God is going to accomplish his will, no matter what Isaiah thought about it. In a quotation from Isaiah 33, 2-6, God himself says, "Be gracious to us," as Isaiah cries out, "O Lord, for we long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in the time of distress. At the time of your voice, the people flee. When you rise up, the nations scatter. Your plunder, O nations, is harvested by young locusts. Like a swarm of locusts, men pounce on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for our times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." Do not go too quickly over that last part. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. In times when Isaiah's nation was going to be destroyed, these verses tell us again an important lesson to Isaiah, even though Isaiah is speaking it out loud to the people. Isaiah is not exactly an atheist. He's a servant of the Lord God. And he's telling the people of his time, the people of God, that God says, fear God, serve him, trust God, serve him, just like you and I have done in the past. We need to pray for our nation, our president today, and our next president, whoever that will be. We need to fear the Lord, and our salvation does not come from Washington. Our salvation does not come from a president. Our salvation does not come from a president or for some man. Our salvation does not come from Congress. Our salvation does not come from, but our salvation does come from the giver of life, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed. Too often we look to men instead of the Lord God Almighty. It's a common problem even in the Old Testament. So what do we do? What can we do? What should we do? Do you ever think of any biblical characters who had some tough times? Can you think and come to mind of anybody who was in a tough spot? Forced to go to a native land, Daniel, taken from Judah. I don't know if he was married. I don't know if his wife went with him or she was killed. I don't know if he had children or parents that were still alive. Perhaps they went with him. Perhaps they were all killed except him. We have no idea. But he was a human being just like us. A very difficult situation. And we see from the book of Daniel, he gets there and he's surviving. Well, many people didn't survive. They give him a test of food because he said, "I'm going to remain faithful to God." Some people might be bitter in that sense. My nation's been destroyed. Perhaps my family's been destroyed. And then the test of prayer. I will not break praying to God. I will break the law and pray to God rather than not pray to God. Tough spot. He knew what was happening around him. He knew they were trying to trap him. Or three Babylonian boys. We know them by their Babylonian names. We ought to look up their Judean names, which is very interesting and a whole lesson itself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king passed the law. And he gets excited because they aren't going to do what he's commanding them to do. So he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Now, I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the music, you'll bow down to the statue of the king." They said, "O king, be understood that our God can deliver us. He may not deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down, O king." They had not read the book or seen the movie. They had no idea what was about to take place. But they stood faithful to God, and God was faithful to them. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to do that every time, but it is worth it to serve God. They decided, "I'm going to serve God," and they verbalized it. God was able. But if he doesn't, we will not bow down. There are a lot of Bible characters in tough spots, and God helped them. What about us? What about 2020? Did God help you and I in 2020? Have we ever been in tough spots before? You ever been in a spot where you thought, "I'm going to die"? And so far, God has got you out of that spot. Think about the past and how good God has been to us. As Jeremiah writes, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Right now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know some things. You can go to the Lord God Almighty with whatever's happening in your life. Nothing is impossible with God. Is anything too hard for God? The angel tells Mary. Now again, a lot of Bible characters were in tough spots. Our next slide, we need to remember the Washington drama. Maybe we've had a death. Maybe emotions are high. We're fearful. We're drained. We're tired. We're hurting. What does the Word of God say to us? What does God say to His people? Well, a few reminders. And I thought this was a good way to say it. We need to walk like Enoch. Worship like Abel. He did it God's way, not as his brother did, his own way. Work like Nehemiah. Weep like Jeremiah. Obey like Job. Lead like Moses. Pray like Daniel. Win like Paul. Live like Jesus. Our next slide is the truth of what we need as well. Be still and know that God is on the throne. We are not Him. We are not in charge. We like to think we are. Right now, whatever's happening in the world, anywhere in the world, be still and know that I am God. Habakkuk got an interview with God where he got to complain to God how God was running Judah. Why is Judah allowed to get away with murder? The nation, not the individual for the 12 boys. And they were. And God said, I know about that. I'm going to take care of that. Well, that offended the prophet Habakkuk. You know, wait a minute. You're going to take a wicked nation, which he ties to Isaiah and Jeremiah. You're going to take a wicked nation and come down and destroy a nation that's not as bad as we are? They're worse than we are. And God said, well, I'm going to take care of them. And he tells them about what he's going to do next. Now, if we knew the future, imagine, from God directly, where we're not going to get that, and God would tell us the next 100 years, we wouldn't like it. I'm almost sure. I'm pretty sure. We'd want to argue with God. Now, that God, and that's really saying, that's not the way I would do it. That's all it is. God is God. And finally, Habakkuk got it. And that's what the message is all about. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. God is running the world, not us. And His ways are not our ways, Isaiah says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. It's a common human problem, but God is sovereign. And again, our next slide reminds us when we walk with God, maybe we have questions, maybe we're hurting, maybe we're struggling, keep walking. Maybe you've hit the wall, as the description is. And the way to get through when you hit the wall is to just keep putting one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, maybe 1 hour at a time. Just keep walking. Don't quit. Maybe you quit. God will let you get back in the walk. The Bible tells us of facts, warnings, instructions, and promises. There are lots of lessons of people in the Bible who got the warnings, instructions, and promises. Some who listened, some who did not. Real human beings like you and I had families, some of them, men, women, boys, and girls, facing real life situations. When his nation was being destroyed by war, the prophet Jeremiah, in his lament, gives an expression to his feeling. We read that great verse, but I want to back up and start at verse 22. That's 22 to 23. I want to start at verse 13. As he expresses grief, and sometimes this is shared to talking to people who've just lost a loved one in grief, because here he is expressing his pain. He loves his country. It hurts him that his country is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. He knows, as a prophet, that God is going to bring him back. But he says, he pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. Or one translation says, he makes me grind my teeth across the gravel. The pain of his life. He has trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. I say my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet to this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he was young. The prophet put his hope in God when things were bad, when he hurt. He describes his teeth being ground on gravel. That's a lot of pain. And when you share it with people in grief, they immediately, often I've seen, accept it. That's exactly how I feel. Maybe we say it different ways. Maybe we say, well, my world's gone from color to black and white. You know, it just hurts. And yet, in that context, human context, he says, the goodness of the Lord is there. I will hope in God. The lament, the grieving, the expression of his feelings. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He loved his country. I have no idea what the future holds. I have no idea what will happen. But he says, Jeremiah says, my God reigns in righteousness. He plants and uproots nations according to his will. He remains the same, and he hears the prayers of the righteous. It's time to pray for our country. It's time to pray for our world, if we haven't already. It is God who can help us take out the pandemic. But it's important to humble ourselves and seek the Lord. It's more important what's happening in your house than who's in the White House. You have more control and ability to affect change and make life for who lives in your house than who's ever in the White House. Let's say this another way. What's in your power to do? Do you have any influence and impact over the president or vice president? You certainly have the power and influence over those in your own home. We need to pray for our nation to return to God. The values found in Christ and Scripture. We pray for our country, and we pray that we know what it will be like if they lose Christ. It's great to live in this country. I'm blessed. You're blessed. We've been blessed to travel and see others who don't have it as well as we do. But the most important thing is to be in Christ. The most important thing is to seek God. And what do we sing? Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Don't miss the point. Post it on Facebook. You know, people are praying for God to heal our nation, Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And he says, well, I think God is waiting for us to repent and return to him. What is in my power to do? In my power to do is to take care of Keith Shepherd. And what kind of job am I doing about that? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their sins, forgive their iniquities, and heal their land. Now, God is promising that to the Old Testament people of God and the books we're reading about. That was his prayer and his comment to them, but they did not repent. And that's why God took them away to captivity for 70 years. You know, they thought they could outsmart God. Oh, remember the Sabbath day? Well, you know, that doesn't really matter. And God said, we're going to Babylon, and we're going to keep every Sabbath day we missed. We're going to be there for 70 years. You won't outsmart God. Like the guy who said, well, I'm going to sell my house, and God had been good to him. I'll give all the money to God. Later he thought, well, I'll sell the house, but you got to buy the cat if you buy the house. And it's $2 to buy the house, and it's $200,000 to buy the cat. So he sold the house, gave the $2 to God, kept the rest for himself, thought he was real smart. You will not outsmart God. We must understand, we talked a few weeks ago, we will reap what we sow, we'll reap more than we sow, we'll reap later than we sow. Our nation is living by the flesh, not the spirit, living by themselves, putting themselves as God. And it's time for at least the people of God to seek his face, to humble themselves, and return to him. Again, all I can control is me. And again, in this time of pandemic, every day we're shocked at who's passed away or who's got COVID. Are you ready to meet God? Only you and I can answer those questions. It is the most important question of your life. At that point, the question will be, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? God wants it to be there. Christ died so he could put it in there. Satan does not want it there. He will lie, manipulate, try to do everything he can to get you and I. Now think about this. We don't think about it, but it's true. Satan wants you and me and our wives and husbands, our children and our grandchildren to go to hell. And he will work and do anything he can to make that possible. God on the other side has given his son to die and his work in the world to save people from their sins. Which side are we on? Who will we help? Are we right with God? This is why we seek an invitation. We want people to be right with God. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you don't know what you need to do. Maybe you're not sure. We'd be glad to help you in any way spiritually that we can. But if you know this morning that you're not a Christian and you've never immersed yourself in Christ, being buried with him in baptism, why are you waiting for? Or if you've come to Christ, you've been buried with baptism, and now you're walking the Christian life and Satan came at you and you thought, man, I never saw this coming. We go to the Bible again. You think Peter believed he was going to deny the Christ? Oh, no. I'm never going to deny you. And Peter did exactly what Jesus said. Peter was restored by Jesus. And look at the great person he was. But it was because he was in Christ, not because of Peter. But he did what he thought he would never do. If you've done that, don't walk away from God as Judas did. Run to God as Peter did. There's a public response you need to make. Why don't you come as we stand and